22 in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I count it an honor to be able to stand here. A lot of you men should be preaching to me. Not on there.
All right.
I'm glad the Lord chose the weak things of the world to confound the wise and the base things to bring the not things which are. I'll get situated here in a minute. All right. We'll say thank you to the church for the good room and the hospitality, all of the food and the good preaching and everything that's went on today. And you pray for me, and hopefully the Lord will work out the nervousness and to try to honor and glorify Him tonight. I want to turn to a couple of places in the Word of God tonight and appreciate what's already been preached today and got a lot of great help out of the Word of God. Let's all stand, if you would. Genesis chapter number 22, and I thank you, Brother Richardson, for putting confidence in me to stand in your pulpit. And I want to honor and glorify the Lord tonight. Genesis chapter number 22, and also 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Bible said in Genesis 22:1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Save you place there in Genesis 22. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 57. Paul said, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Notice here in verse number 58, it said, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And with this story in Genesis chapter number 22, and we'll be preaching from there, I want to preach on that thought of be ye steadfast. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to stand. I thank you for all that we've heard today. And God, I stand here, Lord, with arm of flesh would fail me needing thy touch tonight. And Lord, I just know that I'm unworthy, but God, you've called us to preach. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd use us for your honor and your glory. If there be any preaching done, you'll have to do it tonight. You'll have to put away the weakness of this flesh. And Lord, the things, and Lord, I know myself, Lord, not better than you do. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd forgive me of anything that might be in the way tonight. Lord, that you might receive all the honor and glory, and somebody might receive help if some lost soul might be saved, and some saint of God might just go on until you come. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I want to preach on that thought tonight of be ye steadfast. The Bible teaches us here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It says, But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It sounded like a command to me to be ye steadfast. And we've already got the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And it seems like that today we live in a day where people are just not steadfast for the Lord. That word steadfast means firm. It means faithful, permanent, stable, and solid. I thank God tonight for the good singing that we've heard. But I believe every preacher here would trade all of the talent of their church maybe, and that's fine, but for some people that were just steadfast in the things of God, that just decided, I'm going to serve God. He saved me. I know where God wants me to be, and I'm going to be steadfast in the things of the Lord. I mean, it's not always easy to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, but that's what the Bible commands us to be doing.
And sometimes it's hard to be steadfast, to be firm, to be faithful. I hear the psalmist cry in Psalm 12 in verse number 1. The psalmist, I can hear the desire in his heart and the earnestness in his heart in Psalm 12 and verse number 1. The psalmist said, "Help, Lord." He's got a plea of help. And you know what he was crying out for? He said, "Help, Lord, for the faithful man ceaseth." He said, "For the faithful, the God." He said, "The godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men." Many of you preachers tonight, you could say that what breaks your heart probably more than anything is to see a family get saved and they get in the house of God and they're working for the Lord and it seems like they're steadfast and they're wanting to serve God. And maybe you're here and that was you and you're not serving God like you used to, and it breaks your heart to see people that are not steadfast in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it do us good to cry out tonight like the psalmist said, "Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men." That's one of the biggest things we're lacking today is just faithfulness. Steadfastness in the things of the Lord. We find here the Bible tells us that we ought to be steadfast. I believe a lot of the reason that our churches and our homes are being overcome by Satan and his crowd is the Bible said, "Whom resist, steadfast in the faith." Steadfast in the faith. That tells me if we're steadfast in the faith, we will resist the devil. But I see a lot of devil in the houses of God and in people's lives today. But we need to be steadfast in the faith and the Word of God tonight. And I see a picture of that tonight here in Genesis chapter number 22. I see a man that was steadfast on doing what God would have him to do. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 1, I see God working. I see God working. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Now, this is no contradiction to James, where James said God doesn't tempt any man, but he said God doesn't tempt any man with evil. God will not tempt a man to do anything that's wrong and anything that's evil, but God will put us through trials and temptations of our life. God will do that. This crowd today that says everything's got to be great when you're serving God, they don't know about over there in Hebrews chapter number 11. That whole chapter talks about those that receive the blessings of God and all the great things they did for God. But then it says the others. Others were sawn asunder, and others received mockings and cruel scourgings and sawn asunder. And we find here that it's not God is not just working in the good times of our life. So God is working here. God's working sometimes when He's still. The Bible said He doesn't slumber nor sleep. God's always working. When Jesus was here upon the earth, He was always about His Father's business. I'm glad tonight that we're not saved by works. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." That word workmanship speaks of us being the product of God. That's what I want to be, is a product of God. And any product of God that derives from God will be a faithful product and a steadfast product for God. Hey, God is working. The Bible said in Philippians chapter number 2, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Hey, somebody said that means you got to work to get to heaven. You can't work out your salvation until God works it in. Hey, I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy, God convicted my heart on my way to hell, and the preacher told me about hellfire and brimstone, and told me the wages of sin was death, and then he told me about the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And had Jesus not set His eyes as it were a flint toward Calvary, and He was steadfast to do the Father's will, none of us could be saved tonight by the grace of God. And we ought to be steadfast like the Lord Jesus Christ was. I see God working. Hey, what a pleasure to have the God of heaven, the God that spoke the world into existence. And He said, let there be. And it was. Hey, that same God that made the majestic mountains and the deep seas and all of that, He's working inside of the hearts and the lives of His people tonight. That ought to be enough to be steadfast about. That He'd even think about me. The psalmist said, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visiteth him? He said when he looked at the things that God had made, and then he looked at man, he said, what's man? I see God working here in the life of Abraham. And I see Abraham waiting. It says, and Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. Now that speaks of waiting. He was waiting for what God would have him to do, but it also speaks, I believe, that the Bible is talking about, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you got a good waiter and he's always around and he's filling up your drink and such as that, and he is obligated to be your servant. And hey, that's the way we ought to be with God. Here I am, send me, O Lord. So we see God working and Abraham waiting and God wording. He said in verse number 2, and he said, it says it in verse number 1, in verse number 2, he said, thank God that God would even speak to us. Somebody said, well, I'd do something for God if I knew what to do. There's plenty in the Bible for us to do for God. There's plenty in the Word of God for us to do for God. You want to know God's will, it'll be in His Word. And we see God watching. The Bible said in verse number 2, and He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. That word Moriah means seen of Jehovah. He said, Abraham, go to the place where I'm telling you to go, and I'll be there with you. I'll be watching you. You young people, you remember, I remember whenever I was a younger man, and Mama would ask me to go out to the car, and it'd be late at night, and it was dark outside. And she'd say, go out there to the car and get something out of there for me. I was fearful, and I'd say, Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's awful dark. I don't want to go out there and get that for you. And she'd say, and I said, but Mama, if you'll watch, I'll go. I'll go out there, and I'll do what you'd have me to do. Hey, we're living in a dark day, in dark times, but I'm glad God still sets up high and looks down low. This has not caught God by surprise tonight. He knows what's going on, and it's all lining up just like the Word of God said it would. And it'd do us good tonight just to settle in on serving God and don't worry about the trials and the troubles and the tribulations and say, I'm going to serve God. Then we see Abraham walking. It says in verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took of his young men with him, and it says there, and went unto the place of which God had told him. One preacher said, it's easy preaching, hard living. I mean, in here it's easy to be steadfast in the house of God. But I find some things here about steadfastness. I want to say, first of all, tonight, there'll be some hindrances to steadfastness. There'll be some hindrances to serving God. You will be hindered. If you're trying to do something for God, you've got an enemy. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. He's looking for the wounded ones. He's looking for the weak ones. He's looking for the wandering ones. And he's looking for the people of God that are not steadfast in the faith of God. I say tonight there'll be some hindrances to being steadfast. Your deepest cares will hinder you in serving God. Your deepest cares. He told Abraham, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I mean, you could probably testify tonight of pastors and everybody here of what's hindered you the most, probably the most of anything, was the people that you loved the most and the people that were supposed to have loved you the most. And maybe they did, but they failed you in some way and somehow. And we find here pastors, see those people that have loved them or maybe your loved ones. I tell you, if you dedicate yourself to serve God, there'll be somebody in your family that'll point their finger in your face and they'll laugh at you. you and they'll mock you and they'll persecute you. Paul said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not suffering persecution, you're probably not living too godly. Hey, but it don't feel good, does it? I mean, we can talk and say, well, they don't bother me, but it really does. It'll hinder you. It was talked about today how that your deepest cares. I mean, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Yet the deepest cares of Abraham's life could have. And I thank God Abraham was a picture of steadfastness. He didn't let it get him from serving God. I mean, maybe tonight you got out of the house of God or you're thinking about getting out of the house of God. You better be careful what you say goodbye to. Your deepest cares will sidetrack you. But thank God the Bible said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you tonight. And He cares for you tonight. And you can cast your burdens upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Your deepest cares. God saved me when I was about 13 years old, and some people would pick me up and take me to the house of God every time the doors were open, and I had never been to church, and thinking about deepest cares, them people are out of church tonight. But I can't quit because they quit.
Amen, brother.
I drove by the other night and they was out in the yard and I pushed that button over there and I hollered, get in church! I was headed to the house of God. And my wife said, you think they heard you? I said, I hope so. They's the ones got me in the house of God. But I can't quit serving God because of them. I mean, there's a deep care in my heart for those people that took me to the house of God and took me down there. And I mean, if I had to pay them back for the food that they paid for me to eat and things such as that and different things that they bought, if I had to pay them back, I could never do it. But I tell you tonight, Paul said that he's a debtor both to the wise and to the unwise and the barbarians and to the Greeks. And Paul wanted to serve God to try to pay that debt the best that he could. I remember how God saved me and took me off to East Tennessee in college, and I met my wife and was playing ball in college and moved down to Athens, Tennessee. And the Lord called me to preach October 1st of 2000 at Hilltop Baptist Church. And God burdened my heart. I pastored a little while in Chickamauga, Georgia. And God burdened my heart to come back home to Dixon County, Tennessee. And God burdened my heart to start a church. I went and sat under Brother Ronnie Jones to make God make me go. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to say, God, if you want me to go, I want to go. I was counting the cost, brother. And I was thinking about that today, and I told my wife, I said, if we go, we're staying. We're going to go. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to face. We're going to face family problems. My family's a bunch of, and I love them, and I pray they get saved. And I'm not mean toward them, but they're dope addicts, and they hate. I mean, they think everybody owes them something. They threaten our kids, threaten me, and such as that. And I said, if we're going, we're going to stay.
Amen.
But it wasn't easy. And we got there in some of the deepest cares. I remember one night we was riding down the road. We was having services on Thursday night because they'd use Wednesday nights to go and raise money for the rent at the building there while I was working a job. And we was going down the road, me and my wife and those. We had two girls then, I think it was. And we was riding down the road. I mean, you know what it's like? Everything's going great in the Christian life. Isn't that what the Christian life is like? Up one minute, down the next. Up one minute, down the next. Hey, just keep going. One day it's all going to be just straight up. That's what it'll be. It'll all be up then. We won't be coming. Well, we'll come back down, but it'll be a lot better place then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're singing the B-I-B-L-E, riding down the road. I tell you, it's amazing how one curve can change your life. We were singing, and all of a sudden around this curve come my brother-in-law backward bailing around that curve, and I thought, what's going on? And there were ambulances everywhere, and my 17-year-old brother, the only one that would have graduated, I said, what happened? They said, Joseph hung himself. He hung himself, and he's laying there about to die. And you know how your flesh gets. And he just told me, I'll be coming to church with you. I thought I was going to pick him up, and he hung himself there. And my deepest cares tried to hinder me, and I fell on my face and I cried out to God and said, God, give him a heartbeat back. And he did for a little while. It's a sad story. But things like that will hinder you in serving God. And my family, and I'm nothing tonight, I'm not trying to say anything about me, but they cussed me at that funeral while I was trying to preach and all the things going on. I'm not mad at them. I love them. And I'm glad, thank God, I was able to give them the Word of God. I'm glad, thank God, I'm hoping to see them saved someday. I'm hoping they'll get saved by the grace of God. But I guarantee if I'd have quit serving God, if I'd let that hinder me, they may have never heard the gospel again. They may have never seen somebody live for God or seen me do it. Does this make any sense tonight? We need to be steadfast. It ain't time to quit on God. It's not time to lay down on the last lap of the race. Your deepest cares will hinder you in serving God, but the direct commands of God. The direct commands of God. He didn't ask Abraham what he wanted to do. No, that's what people think today. Well, I'll do it if I want to. Well, you just need to get the want to and go ahead. If God's put it in His Word, He's told you to do it, just be best to go and do it. The direct commands of God. He said, take now thy son. He said, and offer him. The Bible said in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This flesh right here, it still hates God. It still despises God's law. It despises the dominion of God. This flesh is lazy, and we need to mortify the deeds of this flesh that we might be steadfast in the things of God. I mean, it'd be good to throw these televisions out of your house and throw all these things, quit going to movie houses. You say, what's that got to do with steadfastness? We've got calloused hearts today out of the things of God. We've got calloused hearts and we don't want to do God's commands. I mean, it's a direct command to go to the house of God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you preachers, sometimes the only time you went is because you was the pastor? No, you don't have to raise your hand. I did, but that'll be a hindrance. Your deepest cares will be a hindrance to being steadfast for God. Your direct the direct commands of God. How many preachers stand up as the preacher talked about, and he preaches the Word of God plain and pure and simple and preaches it boldly, and people will stop serving God and they'll blame it on the preacher. But we just need to keep on pressing on. Keep preaching what thus saith the Word of God. There's no place to stop now. We need to just keep pressing on and doing what God's told us to do. There's some hindrances to steadfastness. Your deepest cares. Direct commands. But then there's a dreadful course. Do you imagine the dreadful course? You know, sometimes I believe we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. Or these are supernatural men. The Bible said that Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. That's what the Bible said. I see Abraham here. Imagine what you'd be going through. If you knew what you was going to have to do, what a dreadful course trying to serve God and to press on. I don't know what your course is like tonight. And I don't know what your course, where you're from. I probably don't know hardly anybody here. There's a few people I know, but I don't know what your dreadful course is. But there is a dreadful course sometimes. You may dread to go down to the workplace and tell people about the Lord. You may dread to come to the house of God. You may dread, but thank God there's a God that'll walk with you. And He said, I'll go with you always, even unto the end. I don't know if you want this tonight, but this is what God told me to preach. That dreadful course. You know what'll make the course so dreadful? The unknown. He didn't tell Abraham right off what he was going to do, where he wanted him to go. He told him what he wanted him to do. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him there for a burnt offering. I tell you, sometimes the unknown can hinder you. Hey, we don't really know what all's going to take place if either one of these men get put in the White House. But thank God we don't need to worry about the White House. And thank God politicians is not what's going to help us and save our families and birth people into the family of God. It'll still take Bible preaching and preaching on the blood and people serving God. That's still what it'll take tonight. Hey, Washington's not going to save my family. Washington's not going to get anybody into heaven tonight. And we might as well take our eyes off the world and just serve God.
The unknown. Be a dreadful course. But then the understood can be a dreadful course. He knew what he had to do. He understood.
I believe most people in the house of God, for the most part, understand what they're supposed to do. The dreadful course could be the unknown, the understood. It said which God had told him in verse number 3. And what seems unending, what seems unending. If you've not been through those times in your Christian life, they'll come when you feel like it's just never going to end. I'm glad the Bible said that God will strengthen, establish, and then it'll settle you. That's what God does. That's what God is doing. That's why you have a dreadful course sometimes, because God, He uses hindrances in our life to press us on and for us to go on. I believe if we'd realize that, we'd keep serving God. We got a family in our church. We was out preaching on the streets when we started the church, and they drove by, and the wife called, and she said, "We see y'all are serious about serving God, and we'll see you at church in the morning." Well, she come and brought the kids that morning, and then they said, "We'll be back tonight." She brought her husband. And he was a real shy fella. And on Sunday morning, he almost stepped out. And his brother-in-law was there too. And he almost stepped out, and they saw each other. And they stepped back in the pew. I just closed the invitation down. By the way, invitation ain't mine. Some people think they ain't an invitation unless a man gives it. Thank God for an invitation. But if the Holy Spirit don't give the invitation, you won't get one. I'm glad he gave me one night.
Yeah. Amen.
I closed the invitation down, and he went home, and he kept coming and kept coming, started wanting to give to missionaries and give money. I thought, boy, this is something different. And I asked him, I said, "Why you want to give money to missionaries?" He said, "Let me tell you." And his eyes started flowing down. He said, "I got a home one night." He said, "You'd been preaching about hell." And he said, "I crawled in the closet. I told my wife, I got to get things right between me and God." And he crawled in that closet. He stopped smoking cigarettes after 15 years. He went down to the workplace. And he wouldn't let them steal off the job anymore. Hey, you know what they did to him? They mocked him. They cussed him. Every day he'd go to work is a dreadful course. And he come to church one time, Brother Dame, and he said, "Brother Jimmy, I'm so embarrassed." He said, "Today I just broke down in tears and started testifying to him." I said, "That's the best thing you could have done." And they've had a hard time for about a year and a half. I ask you to pray for them. They're starting to drift. They're starting to drift. And I've tried to preach to them and tried to tell them that God will let us go through hindrances to make us stronger in the long run. That's what God will do. He'll hinder you with your deepest cares. He'll hinder you with the direct commands of God that this flesh doesn't want to go on, but the dreadful course. As a young man, I've not had to off of a dreadful course, but I tell you, it's a dreadful course that I'd been going through. Been there about 2 years, starting that church. Seemed like nobody wanted it. It was good to see them get saved, and now it seems like they're fading out a little bit. Hopefully they're not, but it looks like it. And the preachers can tell when people are starting to fade out and starting to go out the door. They can see it in their eyes. They can watch them. Can't you see that, pastors? You can just see it when they're slipping out. Hey, you don't have to slip out. Just get back in, serve God. There will be a dreadful course. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he told him about a dreadful course. He said, This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, incontinent, fierce, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said that they be ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the day we live in, isn't it? And he told him that. And he said, he was just honest with him. And he said, Timothy, it's not going to be an easy road. There's going to be dreadful days. And you know what he told him to do? He didn't say, start having all the programs. Start trying to entertain a man. He didn't say, start trying to buy a man. He didn't say, start doing all of that. The next verse of chapter number 4, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. He said, preach the word. He said, Timothy, I'm telling you about the dreadful course. He said, but just preach the word. It'll still get it done. Preachers, just be steadfast in the word. In the word of God. I realize I'm a lot younger than most of you, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We need to be steadfast. There will be hindrances, but thank God there'll be helps. I'm glad the psalmist said, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Wasn't ever any trouble, help wouldn't be so great. But there'll be some helps. I think tonight in the hindrances that come with being steadfast, there's some helps. God will give you some divine confidence. Some divine confidence. You know what Abraham said? Abraham, the Bible said, he rose up early and he saddled his ass and he took the young men and he headed out to the place which God had told him. And he headed out on that dreadful course. The hindrances, no doubt, that was going through his mind. But he had some divine confidence in the God of heaven tonight. And we need some more divine confidence in the God of heaven. He's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to be confident in the God of this Bible. Abraham, I don't see one time he wavered. He's abounding in the work of the Lord, being steadfast, unmovable. He didn't move. Isaac said, Dad, here's the wood. We got the altar. And he said, we got the fire. He said, where's the lamb? And Abraham looked at the men there and he said, you bide here with the ass. And he said, me and the lad are going yonder to worship. It takes sacrifice to worship. Said, me and the lad are going yonder to worship and we'll come again to you. You know who he believed in? He believed in God, the God of the Bible. He said, I've got some confidence in the God of the Bible, the God that I've walked with and the God that's been a friend to me. And he said, I'm not going to quit on Him now. In my darkest hour, in my hardest trial, in my worst trial of my life, he said, me and the lad's going yonder and coming to worship. And he said, we'll come again. And Isaac said, where's the lamb? He said, God will provide Himself a lamb. I'm glad I've got a God I can be confident in. You can be confident in Him early in the morning. You can be confident in Him at noontime. And you can be confident in Him in the middle of the night. The psalmist said, at morning, at evening, and at night, and at midday will I cry unto the Lord and pray unto the Lord. He knew there was a God that he could confide in. He could have confidence in. The Bible said over in Hebrews chapter number 4, wherefore seeing we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. You be confident tonight. He'll help you. Amen. Divine confidence. I mean, everybody's excited, and we ought to be. Thank God, Brother Richardson, not against what you said, but said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I feel the same way. But there might be a lot of life to live before He gets here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And thank God when that day gets here, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm confident tonight that if I was to lay my head down, if I was to die right now, I'd be in heaven with the Lord. I'd be absent from this body and present with the Lord. But until then, thank God, I want to serve Him with every ounce of my being. Be steadfast in wherever God would have me to be. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Didn't say he begun a good work in you, now you perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's not what he said. He said, let me get the verse again. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. I wonder tonight, do you know that time when he begun that work inside of you? Say, I don't know I'm saved, preacher. God works inside of you. You'll feel him moving. I mean, preaching won't make you snarl. It'll make you smile, praise God. The songs of Zion won't make you say, when's this going to be over? I've heard some make you say, when's it going to be over? But I'm talking about the good songs, the good hymn songs, and the things of God. You won't need in this new contemporary stuff. You won't need this entertainment if God's working inside of you. Well, I don't know how I got that, but it needs to be said anyway. Praise God. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing about God, He's steadfast.
Amen.
So how God wants to work His work through us, we're not available to Him. You know what Isaac was? He was a living sacrifice. That's what he was. The Bible said in Romans 12:1, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's still a Baptist word, it ought to be. Holy and acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If Christians don't prove it and show this world what is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, nobody's going to do it. He said, be not conformed to this world. That speaks of blending in and conforming to the world. I mean, you dress one way in the house of God and dress another way outside, that's a hypocrite, and the world knows it. That's being conformed to the world. Come to the house of God and conform to God's people. Go back out and conform to the world. God can't work in that. Isaac was a living sacrifice. He's the promised seed of Abraham. God had already told him that Isaac was that promised seed. I mean, Abraham didn't understand, but you notice he didn't argue with God. Hebrews 11 said that Abraham was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham went up on top of that mountain with some divine confidence and he said, God, I know what you told me. I know what you said. He said, if you can get better use out of his hands with them dead, take them. If you can get better use out of his feet with them dead, take them. If you can get better use out of his tongue of being dead, take it. That's what he said. And he said, I give him to you, God. Hey, that's what we need to do tonight. The reason we're not steadfast today. We're overloaded with the things of the world and we got weights on us and we can't press on for God. Be good to say, God, here's my hands. You move them. You take them. Is everybody all right tonight? Am I boring you? If I'm having a good time, so y'all let me have a good time and y'all have a good time later. I believe we got a God we can have divine confidence in. There ain't no confidence in politicians. There ain't no confidence in a lot of people. But you have some divine confidence in the God of the heaven. He said, God, I don't understand what I'm going through. He said, but I believe, God, if you kill him up there, you'll resurrect him.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe you're going to resurrect him because God, you already told him what you're going to do. Divine confidence will help you. But devoted children. I mean, look at Isaac. I don't see Isaac arguing. Now, he asked his father something. And after Abraham told him, I don't hear Isaac. All I see about Isaac is he took him and he laid him on the altar. There'll be some devoted children that help you be steadfast. I thank God for some men that God's put in my life. Like Brother James Langston. Some other men that God's put in my life. Brother Paul Taylor, you probably don't know any of these men. Brother Spears, probably he knows them. But they've been men that have been steadfast in serving God. Seeing people that are devoted to serving God. Devoted children. Children that are devoted to God. I mean, if Abraham had stopped doing what God told him to do, I mean, he probably had seen it before, but maybe he'd never seen this kind of character come out of his son Isaac. Let me tell you, these young people, they're not going to grow up and just automatically turn into people that love God. They're not automatically going to turn into people that will come to the house of God and raise their hands and say amen. They're not going to turn out to be people just automatically that go out and knock on doors and bring people to the house of God. Hey, I found out just having a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old and one on the way, I found out they're going to do a lot of what I do. I tell you, it helps me sometimes. I come in after work and a long day, and I walk in the house, and I hear the girls back there in the back room, and I hear one of them say, do you want to preach? And now they know they can't preach. And they say, you preach, and I'll lead the singing. And they'll get back there and start singing. And Carly, I said, Carly, what's your favorite song? And she says, oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And so let's sing it, Daddy. And I'll say, all right. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Let me tell you, I've got a lot of things that I have done in front of them that I'm ashamed of. I'm going to have to pay for. But I want to be steadfast. Hey, it helps me. It helps me to see them little girls and see their mama sing with them, homeschool them, and they memorize the whole Psalm 100. And they'll holler it out. It starts out, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And they'll say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Amen.
Wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't even been saved. So I'm not saying anything about me tonight. But we've tried to dedicate ourselves to serve God.
Amen.
It's not been easy. There's been some deepest cares that have hurt. There's been some direct commands that my flesh didn't really want to follow in the heartache and the trials of life. And there's been some dreadful courses, but thank God there's been some divine help from God. There's been some divine help. There's been some devoted children. There's been some people that have served God. If somebody hadn't served God tonight, I probably couldn't have been here preaching. It's getting where you can't hardly preach anywhere nowadays. He was devoted. Isaac was devoted to his father. He's devoted to the faith. He knew there needed to be a lamb. He said, where's the lamb? You know how many kids in trailer parks all over the place around here don't know there needs to be a lamb? Never heard about the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be an evangelist, a missionary. There's somebody that God wants to put you in the path of that may have never known about the Lamb of God. But if we quit now, if we quit serving now, they may never not know about the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad, thank God, that Isaac knew there had to be a lamb. He knew there had to be an offering to please the God of heaven. And he was willing to go with his father. Says in verse number 6, the last 2 words, last 5 words, both of them together. See that? Both of them together. Last part of verse number 8, so they went both of them together. I tell you, I thank God that our girls are here now because I make them. And you ought to make them.
Sure.
Ought not to be at your house. Are we going down? Are we going to church on Sunday?
No, never
ought not to be that. And all the ball games and everything else all be put aside to serve God.
Amen.
Do you know what I really want to? If God doesn't come, the Lord doesn't come, I want to be sitting there. If God wants to use him as a missionary's wife, a preacher's wife, I just hope I can call on the phone and they'll say, Daddy, let me tell you what happened at church tonight. And maybe they can call crying and say, let me tell you what happened at church tonight. You understand what I'm saying? But I thank God, I want to know that, thank God, that they've got something in their heart that makes them be steadfast and pressing on serving God. And it's not going to happen if I'm moving and if I'm wavering in the service. Serving God. There's a lot of people tonight. They come to the preacher and they say, a preacher, what can I do now with them? They're grown up. They're 17, 18 years old. What can I do now? Hey, I know God. There's nothing impossible with God. But sometimes the preacher could say, what about when I told you to bring them to the house of God? What about when I told you not to take them off out of the house of God for all these other things that were not important? Making sense tonight?
Yeah. Amen.
I believe Abraham could go because he had a devoted child to serve God. We ought to be devoted children. I believe he could go on because of the descriptions of Christ. This whole chapter talks about Christ. You know, Christ will never be developed in our lives until we're steadfast. That's what God's trying to do. You ever said, God, what are you trying to do to me? He's just trying to make us like Christ. If you're His child, He's not going to put anything on us that we can't bear, as that's been said and echoed today. I like what one preacher said. Said he come up on this felon. He had this hammer and this chisel, and there's a big old piece of wood there. He just profusely started beating on that thing and beating on it just wild and crazy. And he said, what are you trying to do? He said, that's a horse. He said, that ain't a horse, that's a piece of wood. He said, I'm going to beat everything off of that until it looks like a horse. I tell you, I've had some rough edges and still got some. And I want to be like Christ. And God knows how much I ain't, and maybe that's why I have problems sometimes. I'm just trying to give you my heart tonight. I see people quitting on God, going out into the world. Talked to a fellow in our church. He'd been missing the house of God, and he got saved. He was a drunkard. His dad was a drunkard, and he got saved, and he'll stand up and testify. Just missed 5 and 6 services at a time. I just called him the other night, and the first thing I said, brother, do you believe in hell? He said, oh, yeah. I said, you've been telling us your little daughter's not saved and you're keeping her out of the house of God. You don't believe in hell too much.
Right.
I was nice to him. I believe you ought to be nice.
Yeah.
I believe you ought to be stern and firm. If you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth.
Right.
We need to be like Christ. Let me give you the last one. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain.
Amen.
In the Lord. The word vain means empty. The devil sat on your shoulder and say it's empty to go serve God. It's empty to sit up there all day long in the camp meeting. If you come with the right spirit, you wanted God to do something for you.
Yeah. Amen.
The devil, he'll say it's vain. It's vain. There'll be hindrances, but there'll be helps. But there'll be honors.
Yeah.
When the God of heaven put His Holy Spirit in me, He wanted to work in me, and then He'll honor me for it. Isn't that amazing? I find here that God honored Abraham. There was a delightful substitution. There's a delightful substitution. Abraham was so determined to do what God wanted him to do, the angel had to cry out twice. He said, Abraham, Abraham. He had to cry out twice. I mean, if you're doing what God's told you to do, don't just wait. I mean, don't just stop serving God maybe on the first voice. You make sure it's God. I mean, there'll be a lot of voices come in your head. They said today about pastor resigning on Monday morning. Sometimes it's between services. That's the way it is. And the devil just say, go ahead. Give up. Quit serving God. And quit serving God. But thank God we need to mind the voice of God. You know, there can be some delightful substitutions. He said there in verse number 11, an angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand unto the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Read that again. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Mercy. Neither do thou anything unto him. Grace. Mercy and grace. You sure I'm going tonight? Wasn't it great that first time you heard about that delightful substitute? I mean, sinners never want going to want substitute until he realizes what he's got's no good. What a delightful substitute. He said, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Hey, that's a great gospel message. Preachers, we need to keep preaching the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It still is what will save sinners. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We've grown cold on the gospel message, but still sinners will have to believe that Jesus died for their sins and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. Said he's behind you in the thicket. Bible said over in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. It says with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hey, I wasn't here when Jesus was on Calvary. I wasn't here when He roamed the earth. But hey, the Bible said that He was slain as a lamb before the foundation of the world. Back all those years ago, the lamb was slain. There's a delightful substitution for sinners. This can apply. He said you don't have to sacrifice your son, Abraham. Everybody all right? I'm almost done. I don't want your attention to go away from what I'm trying to say tonight. Even in our churches today, the status is unwed pregnancies. And we shouldn't kick them to the curb, but we ought not let them think it's acceptable. I mean, that's the norm today. Unwed pregnancies, fornication,
right.
Adultery.
Right.
It's just the normal thing today. Partying, drinking. Normal thing most teenagers in the house of God today, they think that, hey, everybody else does it and this is just what everybody does in the day we live in. But I tell you, it don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way, young people. If you'll be steadfast, even as a young person, there can be some delightful substitutions in your life. You don't have to live like your friends lived. You don't have to go down the road that they went down. You don't have to sow your wild oats because you will reap them. There can be a delightful substitution. The same God that fills the hearts and the lives of these older people and the same God that makes their heart rejoice in joy can be in your life. There's a substitution for our young people today. But if we're not steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Maybe tonight, I don't know, but it's in Baptist churches too. Bible-believing Baptist churches. Maybe you've got a child tonight, they're on the verge of getting out in the world. Maybe because you put the world in front of them with that box. It always amazed me, they put the world in front of them with that box, send them out in the world and say, don't touch the world. Stare at it all the time, but don't touch it. I'm saying tonight, our kids don't have to live like the world. There can be a delightful substitution in their life. And the last one, there's a destination of consolation. It said in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Hey, the Christian life's not boring. I've got some places I can go back to that God's took me to. I can go back to that parking lot, Brother Spears. It's a 13-year-old boy out there on a bicycle. I was scared to death. If I closed my eyes, I'd be in hell. The psalmist said, thou holdest mine eyes waking, and the sore ran into the night. I couldn't go to sleep. I took my girls over there. If I can take anybody over there whenever they come up, I'll take them over there. There's a light pole there, and there's a fence there now, and a bank down there. And I was on a bicycle about 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't go to sleep. I thought I'd be in hell. And I remember that preacher said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't understand it, but I looked up with tears in my eyes and a fearful heart, and I said, God, I don't want to go to hell. What, no angels wrote it in the sky and said, you're saved. You know what happened? Peace came. Amen. Peace, peace. Right. Wonderful peace. Yeah, that's what salvation is. Yeah, right. Jesus saves us, and He is our peace. Yeah, I wonder tonight if you're lost. Do you know the place where God saved you at? If you're saved and you're just ready to quit, maybe you mind to go back when God first saved you. Maybe to go back to somewhere where a man of God stood up and preached. I don't know. Maybe there's somewhere. I'm glad God's took me back places. Show me what I used to be. And help me be steadfast. I don't know how to quit tonight. You may give an invitation, brother. Let's all stand if you would tonight. I've tried to give you my heart tonight. Maybe you've been ready to quit on God. As a piano player comes and plays softly, if you would bow your heads and search your heart, take your eyes off of everybody around you, and search your own heart tonight. Maybe you're worried about politics and the economy. Worst thing to do is kill us and we're going to heaven. We need to be steadfast. Maybe, Pastor, you planning on going back and resigning on Sunday. If that's God's will, be steadfast in it. But if it's not, maybe you need to come say, God, help me. Maybe you need to come and thank God for some people He's put in your path along the way. Maybe you need to come thank God for somebody that patted you on the back and said, just keep on going. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't appreciate your pastor like you ought to. That stood with a broken heart. Said, don't give up on God. I don't think any of us probably faced a trial like Abraham faced. He didn't waver. The song leader up here. Thank you, sir. I tried to obey God tonight the best I know how. God's speaking to you. You come tonight. Maybe you've got children that need to see a steadfast saint. They need to see it at your house, not just at God's house. Maybe you need to come tonight. Thank you, Brother Richardson.